I was very lucky today to speak to Aaron Cash, who is a choreographer and a very accomplished dancer. Aaron and I covered his hip replacement, which, as some of you or all of you might know, is something that I know very much about. For any of you who are not familiar with Aaron, he was for 10 years in Cher's Love Hurts tour. He is highly accomplished in ballet, in flamenco. His experience is just diverse and pretty incredible. As you'll hear, he began in Brisbane, through Sydney, through all over the US and pretty much all over the world. He is a choreographer with Ballet Revolution, which was recently in Australia, that began in Cuba. And Aaron has been on television. He consults, he choreographs, he trains and mentors. He really does a whole lot of everything. You'll also learn that he loves a bit of hot yoga. So look, without me going on more and more, I think the best thing that you can do right now is tune in to the interview that we had and enjoy it. And any feedback that you have, please come hit me up on Facebook, Core Integrity with Kat. Alternatively, my website is Kat Woods, CatWoods.me. Love to hear from you. Thanks.
So I've been with the show for 8 years, since its inception. I'm one of the choreographers of the show, basically.
Okay. So, look, you came to choreography after dancing professionally for a very long time. Can you tell me a little bit about where you started? Because I believe that you started in Brisbane.
I'm a Brizzy boy originally. I started at 8 years old. My mother forced me to go to dancing, which I hated at the time. And I started with a woman called Clarissa Hill. Mm-hmm. When I was 15, almost 16, I moved to Sydney and I had a scholarship to study at the Sydney Performing Arts Centre, which is no longer there, which was originally the Ross Coleman Performing Arts Centre. And he was really one of my mentors, or one of my biggest mentors, but he's no longer with us anymore. He's probably one of Australia's, you know, best, well, well-known choreographers, certainly 70s, 80s, early 90s.
Mm. Okay, and then from Sydney, what happened from there?
So Sydney, I started working professionally. I started working a lot. I worked with Ross. I worked with David Atkins. I worked with a bunch of other people. I did Rasputin the musical. I did Dancing Man. I would go off and go down and take company class at City Dance Company as well. And I was working with Jackie Love too, quite a bit, working with her as her male dancer. Mm-hmm. She was a cabaret artist at the time. And when I was 19, we traveled to the States, and I wanted to push myself and just improve, and I thought that really the best place for me to go do that was the States, just for the sheer population. You know, you'd see guys doing just incredible things, you know, like multiple pirouettes, massive jumps, all these tricks I'd never seen before. Wow. So I really threw myself in the mix in the States. So I got to LA and I studied for about 10 months. I got a couple of different scholarships, different dance studios and also acting studios. And I just really, for about the first year, concentrated on getting, you know, refining and perfecting my technique and getting as good as I could. Mm-hmm. And then I caught the attention of a guy called Kenny Ortega. He'd seen me in class and he was holding auditions at an upstairs studio, and basically was like, "What's your deal? Where are you from?" And I told him, I was like, "Oh, well, look, I've got this audition coming up and have an audition." So I auditioned for him and we hit it off, and then he started using me as his assistant. Mm-hmm. And then eventually my visa ran out, so I had to come back to Australia. So I moved back to Australia for about a month, and I was kind of miserable. Mm-hmm. And I was dressing on 42nd Street at the time at Her Majesty's in Sydney, which is no longer there. And I was dancing at a nightclub at the Hilton called Juliana's. Mm-hmm. Just to try and make as much money as I could to get back to the States. Yeah. And after being back about a month, Kenny called me out of the blue and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Oh, I'm just, you know, I'm dressing this musical and blah, blah, blah." He said, "That's a pity because I've got an audition in a couple of days for Cher. And I've told her all about you. I think you'd be perfect for the tour. You know, she hasn't toured in 10 years. It'd be amazing." Mm. I was like, "Oh, that's too bad." So then I hung up the phone and my roommate at the time was like, "You bloody crazy. Look, call him back and say, look, Larry, if you're there, do you have the job?" So I called him back. I called him back and he said to me, "Well, look, as far as I'm concerned, you got the job, but she has final say on everybody." So long story short, I borrowed some money from my mum's boyfriend at the time, and he was good enough to give me the plane ticket to fly over. And, you know, I was a little white lie and said I had the job, but I really still had to audition. So this is sort of when Kenny called me. It was on the Wednesday in Australia. Australia's a day ahead, obviously, of the States. Mm-hmm. So I left on the Thursday. I got in on the Thursday. I had a friend pick me up and take me to Malibu, out to Pepperdine University, where she was having an audition. I got there. It was about 350 people there, and we all learnt the combination. I was so nervous because I thought, I hope I get this job. I'm going to have to pay this guy. You know, it was only a couple grand, but at that stage I was like 19. I'd never really had that much money in my life.
Yeah.
And So I danced out of my skin. I was on fire. And normally when in that situation, you go in, everyone learns the combination, then they split you up into smaller groups. So the girls went first in groups of four, and then the boys went next. And after that, everyone went outside and they said, "All right, we're going to make a cut." And that's what we did. So we came back in about 45 minutes later, and they had several several headshots, and they went, "Michelle Rudy, Troy Burgess, Aaron Cash, you guys can all you can step forward, you've got the job, you can watch everybody else continue an audition." It was amazing. It was kind of nuts. I worked with her on and off for the next 10 years, and it was an incredible experience. She was just really wonderful to work with.
Yeah, my understanding, and I won't go into this, is that she's about to tour again. Am I right?
She is. Yeah, you're absolutely right. She's going back to Australia. I don't think it's been a while since she's been in Australia.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how long. Maybe 5 years, 6 years. I'm not sure. Mm. But, yeah, no, exactly. She loves Australia. She always has a good time when she comes down there. I think they're in Vegas at the moment, the last time I talked to some of the guys that are still dancing with her. If you get a chance and you're a Cher fan, it's always a pretty lavish, wonderful experience.
So, I mean, I guess a big factor in why I was hoping that we could talk and obviously you've got an amazing career and that's worthy alone of having a great discussion, but I find it very interesting that, and I guess because I've had a hip replacement as well, for me that, and I was 33 when that happened, I guess quite a lot of people had their opinions about that, which was problematic at the time. You've worked too hard, or you've done things wrong, or very much a what did you do to cause it sort of attitude. And I think it, for me, reading an interview with you where you just said, "Yeah, I had a hip replacement, then I got straight back into choreographing and doing my job," that's pretty much what I did as well. I recovered really quickly, and I got straight back to teaching. So could you tell me a little bit about how you physically and mentally dealt with that?
Well, firstly, I mean, those people that criticised you and gave you a hard time about getting a hip replacement so young, I mean, honestly, they were probably living in the same kind of pain that you're living in. And it's really a little bit of, well, it's a lot of ignorance on their part. Mm. And I think with modern technology, these operations are super beneficial. I mean, they don't know the long-term results of how long these things are going to go. It used to be, well, after 10, 15 years, you're going to have another hip replacement. Mm. Well, you know, I mean, I'm going on like 13 years, my first hip replacement, and it's still really great. It's still placed really well. Mm. So, you know, I wasn't quite that young. I was 37, but still, you know, I was still in my 30s.
Yeah.
And I think what people don't understand, I mean, everybody's body's different, obviously. So some people might have a weakness in their knees or their feet or their back, you know, and when you're physical all your life, there's the wear and tear that comes along with that. Now, I'm not sure about you, but I wear it as a badge of honor because I'm proud of the fact that I got everything out of my body that I possibly could. And I'm still doing the same thing with what I can do with it now. If anyone finds themselves in that position where they need a hip replacement, I can highly recommend it. I mean, do your research, go in there. There's different processes, you know. There's also resurfacing, there's anterior, posterior ways of going about it. But for me, what I did, I had two really good surgeons, and the first guy that I had actually trained the second guy that I got. And, you know, it was I really, on both accounts, I waited too long. I should have actually had it sooner. Because, you know, I mean, look, it is the recovery itself. Looking back now, it wasn't that bad. But, you know, I think the first one was probably a little harder than the second one. But honestly, the first week was kind of like hell week. But then, when I say hell week, it really wasn't that bad. But I just had to be still and not do anything. And then after that, I found, and I think too, when you have youth on your side as well, or even with older patients, particularly when you're younger, you do bounce back a lot faster. I think hips are a lot less complicated than knees. But even still, knee surgery is also rapidly improving, and people are recovering a lot faster from those. But as far as hips go, I did in the recovery, before I went in for both operations, I made sure, you know, because I like to eat too, and certainly I'm not at my dance weight anymore, so I probably walk around at about 10, 15 pounds over normally what I do, even though I exercise a lot, I still carry a little bit more bulk on me. So I made sure I leaned down so when I was fit enough to get back into it, I didn't have to lose extra sort of the fat or weight or anything like that, or have any extra weight on the joint either.
Yeah, look, so, that's funny for me because I exercise quite a lot as well, but and look, weight is not an issue for me, but I just found in the recovery alone, and even when I was not doing anything excessive, just, you know, I was on orders to do, you know, 20 squats a day. So naturally I was doing 120. And, you know, walking around, even just walking around using walking sticks, I just found that exhausting enough. So I felt I actually lost weight. I was burning up so much energy in the recovery process that I didn't have to make much modifications really at all.
Yeah, you were good. I was the same. Even though I wasn't really exercising, like you said, the recovery process, I maintained what I got myself down to. And then straight away, probably, I don't know, like they give you the exercises to do. I think it's also important not to push it too fast, you know, and to listen to your doctor. But, you know, you also know your own body and you know how far. I mean, I pushed it a little bit because I knew, and I know what was going on with my body. But I didn't overdo it because I think some people too sometimes can overdo it and they go, oh yeah, I'm good. And then, you know, I've had that happen with a couple of friends of mine too fast. One guy, he actually talked me through my first hip replacement. He went straight back into, you know, being super physical too soon. And he dislocated it because it didn't get the chance to time, really, for the tendons and the ligaments to set again around the joint. Yeah. And he had to go back and have it redone again.
I think that for dancers, that must be that must be a risk. I guess I'm not a professional dancer by any means. You know, I teach yoga and barre and Pilates, and I guess with that background, I was very smart around knowing what was okay and what wasn't. Tell me, because I think it was during a recovery time that you actually got the offer to work with Ballet Revolution. So tell me what your history was with them to that point.
Well, it probably came about 6 months after my first replacement. But there's one guy that I worked with quite a lot over the last 26, 28 years. I mean, this is the, you never know who you're going to meet and how they're going to affect your future. His name is a guy called John Lee. He's an English producer. Mm-hmm. And another mate of his, a guy called Toby Goff. They've actually got the Bar of Buena Vista coming out to, which is another Cuban show, mm-hmm. coming out to Australia very, very soon as well with all the old guys. But we've done all these shitty little shows together at Edinburgh Festival, also in Sydney at the Botanic Gardens, and they never really made any money. We always lost money. Mm-hmm. But I was always loyal to them. I was like, all right, you know, I always made money teaching dance, so I didn't really have to worry about, if the show went bust and they wanted to keep it going for another few weeks. I was like, yeah, I'm cool, I can hang out. And that loyalty, they're both really loyal guys. And over the last 28 years, I've got so much work from them, you know, and it'll be a call out of the blue. It'll be like, come to Edinburgh, come to Europe to do this, mm. come to Cuba. So that's what happened. I was at home. And John had been doing, in Cuba actually, I don't know, about like maybe 10 years already, doing mambo and salsa shows. And they wanted to do like a ballet and contemporary dance show with pop music, but very Cuban. And he called me one day and said, look, you know, I need to audition these contemporary and ballet dancers, but I don't know what I'm looking at. I know salsa dancers and all that sort of thing. I was like, okay. He said, you want to come to Havana? 2 days later, I was in Havana. Yeah. And then we auditioned. Yeah, it was amazing. Well, in life, but certainly in showbiz, because it's freelance, you don't know where your next paycheck's coming from.
Yeah.
So that was really great. And then after we auditioned dancers, we got a group together, and he said, well, do you want to stick around for the workshop? So probably, I don't know, about 3 weeks later, I went back, and then we created a little, like, 30-minute kind of workshop that we presented for some investors. And then next minute, you know, it got a lot of popularity. It took off, and then he was like, okay, great. Do you want to help us create the show? So that's then that became them as myself and Rockland, who's the other choreographer, John, and then the Australian producer, who's a man called Mark Brady, and then the four of us. And Mark really wasn't there during the creation of it. He basically funded it, but the three of us were left to sort of create the first version of it. Well, really, myself and Rockland were left for 3 months. It took us to create the first time because we had to share the time, and also too, everything in Cuba was really slow, you know, and internet's really always pain, so having to download music and, you know, deal with budgets and all that, so it was a slow process. I'm lucky my wife didn't leave me.
So with the so your expertise was in contemporary
my stuff's more commercial and classical and contemporary. I have a really versatile background. I mean, I was in Twyla Tharp's company, I danced with Bruce Nikoff, I'm also a tap dog. So as my training was always really intense, and I had everything from ballet, jazz, tap. I don't do acro. You know, my hip hop's okay, but, you know, it's always been commercial, you know. So, like, I worked with Paul Abdul years ago, obviously, the time was Cher, which is more commercial arena. So I bring all those elements to the show. And Rockland is, he's a very good salsa choreographer. He's also, he's more pop kind of video clip kind of commercial stuff, and he throws in hip hop as well. So, and most of his, pretty much all of his numbers are all group involved. He doesn't really like to do solos or duos or things like that. He just likes to throw everyone on stage, and he's really good at, like, moving and doing patterns and things like that. Mm. So that's his area of expertise. So we kind of balanced each other out pretty well.
So one of the shows that I absolutely love is So You Think You Can Dance, the American one, not so much the Australian, but but what I absolutely love when I'm watching that is dancers that go from saying, well, I'm ballet or I'm hip hop, and then they get thrown into completely another genre. Did you find with the dancers that you took on for Ballet Revolution that they were very adaptable?
Oh, absolutely, and they're hungry too. I mean, Cubans are really just hungry to learn, and if they're in a country, I think, for a long time where, you know, a lot of access to outside things. It's better now. They didn't have a lot of access to, but so any new style that comes in or new teacher, they suck it up like a sponge. They're hungry for knowledge and for just different experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So even if they couldn't get my stuff, they would work really hard. And after 8 years or 9 years with these guys now, you know, and we've had several different casts, obviously, in that time, you know, dance is a finite career. We've had a lot of different dancers. But, you know, I have a certain way of moving, and they've really adapted well to that. They get me. I mean, that's my favorite part, honestly, the rehearsal process, when it's the collaboration between all of the dancers and the choreographer and music, you know, that's when the magic happens.
Did you adapt any of your choreography to suit dancers who could do something that maybe you just hadn't?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
Tell me about that.
Oh, my gosh, that's the things, the collaboration, like you'll do something, you know, and I'm also, you know, I'm a big guy. I'm like 6'2½", so these guys, a lot of them, there's no one in the company that's that big. So a lot of that, and also too partnering, I'm very strong. I can do certain things that a lot of they, so we have to adapt, and they might come up, and their floor work's amazing. So they might throw, I'll do something, and they're like, well, it doesn't quite work on their body. So they'll try something else and give it a variation, and you go, oh, that's good. Okay, let's work with that and take it from that. I mean, I think it has to be. Sometimes you have a vision of what you want. You're really strong with it, but for the most time, you know, it's fluid. It's a dialogue between you and the dancers, and in that moment, what happens. And that's, like I said, that's when the magic happens. Yeah. And sometimes, just out of if something doesn't work, then out of that comes something else that you didn't even realize that's so much better than you could have ever come up with yourself. you know, yeah, that's the beauty of it.
And if you could pick some of the dancers that you really, really were blown away by in the past 10 years, could you tell me about some of those?
Yeah, absolutely. So Moises Leon, who's now dancing in Bremen Ballet, is amazing. Incredible. The guy could do, like, my dog's barking in the background. Sorry about that.
No, that's fine.
So, yeah, no, Moises is amazing. Like I said, beautiful classical dancer. Could do, you know, something like 15 to 16 pirouettes. Just nuts. Jump through the roof. Wonderful feel. And I would have to say Juan Carlos... Juanca is another guy. Juan Carlos Sousa is another incredible dancer who's now with let me see if I can move away here. These guys are out of control. He's another incredible dancer who's with, where is he with now? It's I think it's Johannesburg Ballet.
Oh, wow.
And I think, yeah, you know, he's one of the soloists there and doing really well. But those two probably really I think because I got them straight out of ballet school and I was so young, and they had a huge impact on me. And I don't know if I had a huge impact on them, but...
Well, I imagine, you know, so. I mean, without Ballet Revolution, would they have had these international opportunities?
Oh, no, probably not. No, you're right, probably not. You know, right now there's another young dancer in the company, Geordie. Geordie is just... a contemporary dancer, beautiful, such heart and feel. But you know, I could look ODM
for anyone who wants to look that dancer up. Sorry, what was his name?
Geordie, what's Geordie's last name? I can't think of it off the top of my head. But Geordie's incredible. He's wears like, he's got sort of like this mohawk, and he's amazing. Who else? Odiemus Torres, who's now in Lion King in Madrid. She's probably one of the best female dancers I've ever worked with in my life. She was lead dancer at Danza Contemporanea in Cuba for about 10 years, which is like their Sydney dance company.
Oh, you could know, you repeat amazing. What her name was? I'd like to look her up.
Yeah. Odiemus Torres.
Yeah, wow.
Okay. She's a wonderful dancer. Who else? I love all of them. There's Yeleni, there's Manessas. I could name them. They're still, and there's kind of the older crew that are still in the show. Barbie Patterson. Barbara Patterson, who's still in the show. Another one. We got Barbie. She'd gotten let go from the ballet, from Ballet National to Cuba, and she came in. Her mum's amazing. Her mum brought her in, and I think she just graduated the ballet school in Cuba, and she went in, I think had a month with the company, and they let her go for I don't know what reason. And her mum was amazing, brought her in, said, you know, this is my kid, she's amazing. And at the time we needed girls, so I was like, all right, we'll let her take class. And she was incredible. She's probably our best ballerina I would say, within a long shot. And she's grown with us too. She's been with us all this time. These guys are great. I love all these guys. They're really special, and I feel blessed when I to have had the opportunity to work with all these amazing artists, you know.
So, I mean, I think you were a teenager or even in your early 20s, from Sydney to the States, and now that's where you live. I mean, could you have even imagined that when you first went over?
No, not really. No, I don't think so. I really wanted to come over and learn and study and try and just take class with these amazing people that we would see in music videos, you know, like Nasty Boy, Janet Jackson, or you'd see on the American Music Awards, again, Janet or Michael Jackson, Smooth Criminal, all these incredible videos with these amazing dancers. And Australia has amazing dancers too, absolutely. But I think I really gravitated towards that, and I wanted to throw myself in the mix. And you know, Michael Peters was a guy who created Beat It and Thriller.
Wow.
Vince Patterson did Smooth Criminal. And I've been fortunate enough to work with all those guys. They're real, you know, legends of certainly the LA dance scene.
So as a dancer, how do you take care of your body? I mean, for me, I'm very fortunate in that I teach a whole range of disciplines and they feed me. And I quite often, I was reflecting on this morning, get asked, what do I like most? People desperately want to pigeonhole you. And I can't choose because everything nourishes me in a different way. So what do you do, I guess, to take care of your body outside of dance, if it's outside of dance?
Oh, it's outside of dance. I really don't. I mean, the only dance I really do these days is tap dance or flamenco. I like doing flamenco.
Wow.
Just because it interests me and it's something new. So yoga, I love hot yoga.
Mm.
I love boxing. I do a lot of boxing and I do a lot of hot yoga. Just to sort of maintain my flexibility. And then it's like a nice balance of the yin and the yang, the feminine and the masculine.
Nice.
It depends on, I have a one man show that I'm currently doing. So I've had to sort of, because I like to eat, I like to drink, I'm a typical Australian, but at the same time I keep it in moderation. But when I'm getting ready for something, you know, I cut all that stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really get tight with my diet. And then instead of exercising maybe four times a week, you know, I'm there like six or seven times a week.
Mm-hmm.
So at the moment I'm in one of those phases where I'm just full on and just gearing up. So the next 2 months for me, I've got two shows in LA. I've got a show in New York and then I have a show in Madrid. So I'm just sort of, you know, focused on that, which I tend to like. So if I don't have, I tend to think of myself like a fighter. If I've got a fight coming up, it's good. I've got something to aim for.
Yeah.
But otherwise then, you know, I like to enjoy my life. I definitely exercise, but maybe it's, you know, three or four times a week as opposed to six or seven times a week. But I go crazy if it, you know, any more two or three days without exercising, I go nuts.
Yes, I'm completely the same. Long, long plane trips, I go crazy. So where do you do hot yoga?
Well, in Long Beach, so I live in Long Beach in California. There's a couple of places. There's one that used to be a Bikram place. It's called something hot yoga. I can't remember what it's called, but it's been down at the marina.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that space. And then there's another one that's just opened up about another 2 or 3 miles away from me, the hot room. So I go between those two places there. But if I'm back in Australia, my mum lives on the Gold Coast. So there's a really cute little place. I think it's a Mermaid, or it's a back part, like bordering on Currumbin that I go to. I think it's called the Hot Room as well. It's really great. Sydney normally, if I'm there, I haven't done any yoga classes in Sydney. Melbourne I have.
Mm.
Normally Sydney it's boxing. I go down to Camperdown Gym and do boxing down there because I like the cardio aspect, you know.
Yeah, look, I've got to say I've got no skill in boxing, but then again, I haven't really fully dedicated myself. For me, it's yoga and Pilates.
That's
what I love.
Well, I agree. And when I was getting back, when I rehabilitating my hips. I did both. I did the hot yoga. I did Pilates. I do like Pilates. And then I did water aerobic. And once my wound, the doctor said I could go in the water because my wound had healed up enough. I did a lot of water therapy, pool therapy was amazing.
Oh, that's a great idea. I didn't do that. I was just thinking with Pilates, I've been doing Pilates online, but it's because the teacher that I absolutely love is in the States. So I don't know if you're able to look her up, but I believe she's in California. Meredith Rogers. Does that name ring a bell?
Meredith Rogers. Mm. No, where is she located?
To be totally honest, it's blanking my mind because classes online, but I really like her approach. She's challenging. She's, for someone who's very strong, I think she's got real appeal because when I am not doing classes, I'm training with big weights. I really love that. And I find her challenging, but the way that she talks you into things, you're like, oh, she's so calm. And then all of a sudden you're like standing on your head and you go, how did you do that? And I love that with instructors.
Oh, that's great. That's all right.
That will stop. So tell me, just tell me what you've got coming up and then I'm going to let you go.
Yeah. So like I said, June 28th, I have this one-man show that I created that I do 28, I do three main characters, but I do 28 characters supporting that. It's called Last Dance. And I bring back three dance legends to life. One guy's from the 20s, who was Marlene Dietrich's personal choreographer, who would later affect people like Jack Cole and Martha Graham. Next guy is a flamenco dancer from 1775, who was reported to have the fastest feet ever, and that people said he had a pact with the devil because his feet were so fast and the flames would come from them. And then the last guy is a performance artist from New York from the 60s and 70s, came up through Andy Warhol, the factory. Mm-hmm. Changed his name. His name was Peter Brown from Poughkeepsie, but he changed his name to Contemporary. And he was like this performance, dance satirist performance artist. It's a bit of nonsense, but it's been doing really well. We've done 4 shows in Long Beach. They've all been sold out. We've just been invited to New York at the end of September to do it on Broadway at the United Solo Festival. it's really cool, really exciting. So that's what's going on. And then I should be back in Australia later for a project, I'm hoping. We're still waiting on final confirmation on the 24th in Sydney. And that's it. It'll keep me going until Christmas time, and then we'll come back home. And one of my daughters is moving to Seattle, so I'm not sure if we're going to be going up to Seattle for Christmas or not.
How exciting.
Yeah.
Well, look, Aaron, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And look, I'm going to end the recording, but I might get a contact from you just to get some photos and videos.
Yeah, absolutely.